It is time for us to go live, ladies and gentlemen. Live with the folks at theberkshireedge.com. We have both David and Marcy with us this morning. David and Marcy, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you've done this well. This is new.
Yeah. Well, it's every once in a while I manage to trip into doing something the correct way.
What's new?
That you're on the phone without
without me screwing up somehow and having.
Oh yeah, well we're in the same place.
Yeah, that
only
that,
one number to call.
That does help me considerably. I get confused very easily. All right, well let's get right down to what people can find. TheBerkshireEdge.com. Of course, when you listen to us talking live, this is just a fraction, just a sampling of what you find 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, there's something like 6,000 stories up there.
That's a lot of stories.
And counting.
That's right.
And counting.
Because every day there's another one, right.
Bandwidth is growing, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Well, it is. And actually, our audiences are growing. I mean, we are having record readership.
I'm always amazed. I don't know about you, but as somebody who's been in broadcasting his whole life since the age of, actually since I was 16, which is almost 50 years. I'm absolutely amazed when I post something on Facebook or I post something on our on-demand page and we track it. And to see the fluctuation, but to see the amount of people that come to different stories, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
it is. It's interesting.
Well, we had, we get reports from Google Analytics, and in July, they told me that we had 67,000 unique visitors. And I thought, oh, my God, this must be a fluke. But then in August, we had 72,000.
No, think those numbers are flukes, but they're not. Our on-demand page, which we host all of our individual shows, yours included, and there's I think there's 37 shows up there. The on-demand page gets anywhere between 120 and 130,000 downloads a month. And you say to yourself, my God. My God, yeah. But it's the multi-platform. It's what today's all about. So we'll start out. W.E.B. Du Bois once again in Great Barrington.
Oh, yes. Well, the selectman, this is his 150th anniversary of W.E.B. Du Bois' birthday. He was born in Great Barrington. And the town, despite some objection from some people, are celebrating his birthday. This renowned scholar and founder of the NAACP, sometime critic of the racial policies of the United States, but nevertheless, he was born in Great Barrington, went to Harvard, and
with money, his education was paid for by people in Great Barrington.
That's right. Brilliant young man. And anyways, the town is now going to celebrate his legacy in various ways, and the select board just set up a committee to do so, and they're going to have all kinds of events honoring this legendary scholar. So, although there was one bit of controversy, because one member of the radical right wanted to be on this committee, but he wanted to be on it so that he could say that he didn't want anything about Du Bois ever done in the town. And they refused to put him on the committee. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
He should form his own committee.
Well,
yeah, he would like to.
He may, you know.
Yeah. He's a private citizen. He wants to form his own committee and complain. Let him complain.
Well,
it's just amazing.
The issue of Du Bois' legacy in Great Barrington has been somewhat controversial over the years. When they built the new elementary school many years ago, not that many years ago, but about, 20 years ago, the brand new elementary school, they wanted to name it after Du Bois, and there was objection from the... From the right wing that objected to him, building being named for him, so they didn't do it. And that has been a sore spot ever since. It's always brought up. But now there's this, on his 150th birthday, people in town have rallied on his behalf, and they even want to put a statue of him reading a book in front of the Mason Library in town. So, anyways,
All right,
seems
so
like his reputation has been restored, at least to some substantial degree in Great Barrington.
Until they want to name the next school.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, but I'm that's the cynical side of me coming out.
But you know, there's a woman in town named Gwendolyn Van Zandt who has been very active, and I mean, she runs an organization called Multicultural Bridge, and she has really been a leader in Great Barrington and really in Berkshire County in trying to bring together people of different ethnicities. And she's now on this committee, and she really has said that this is kind of the first time that any African Americans have participated actively in, you know, in a town committee, and that you know, she's very hopeful that this is the beginning, because you know, we have had an important African American community in Great Barrington, which has been kind of invisible, and you can understand why when you see the hostility to the, you know, to the most famous person who ever was born in Great Barrington, but who also happened to be black.
Yeah, amazing. So, amazing.
So, you know, maybe this is an opening for,
we'll see,
for something more positive.
All right. Well, on Monday you have a story about the students at Monument Mountain Regional High School walking out of class all over the Supreme Court nominee.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We had we have a student intern at the high school who writes for us, and she called up and said that she was going to write this a little story because 80 students at the high school, Monument Mountain Regional High School, had walked out of class in a demonstration of protest against the alleged reputation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, who's a Trump's candidate for the Supreme Court. And they did. They walked out.
Apparently this happened all over the country.
And it was part of a big student movement that at a certain hour, the students walked out of class to protest him.
And also in sympathy with the women.
In sympathy with the women
who allegedly abused.
Yes, whom Judge Kavanaugh abused when he was a student. So it's quite interesting to see this younger generation becoming so activist.
I think what really has spurred a lot of, especially students, I'll say students, on to become activists are all these shootings that happened in school, and it ties into it. Those tentacles of those shootings tie into politics in general. And then the students get more actively involved in general. If there's one thing that's come out of all this, it is the activity that comes now from middle school and high school students, how much more aware they are of their surroundings.
Yeah, it's encouraging, isn't it?
But it is, and it's what this country needs.
Well, yes, and it's what we've always supposedly had. It's an active and engaged population. But I was glad to see students identifying with, of course, you're right, because of the school shootings around here, because of the shootings in Connecticut, for instance, students are very sensitive to these issues that affect them as a group. And I was actually quite pleased to see this.
All right, well, you know, it's interesting because
we also heard the next day, we didn't write about this, but we heard that the next day there was a student at Monument Mountain who came draped in a Confederate flag. who was walking around the school like that.
Well,
so there is some backlash.
Freedom of expression goes both ways. But
yes, it does.
While we're talking about students, you know, we down here coming up this weekend have the Crop Walk, which raises locally $8,000 to $10,000 for food banks, and another $20,000-some that goes to feed the hungry throughout this country. And students are a big part of that. But also coming up this weekend up in your neck of the woods is the Out of the Darkness Berkshire County Walk.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That is quite a painful story. We wrote the other day about a woman who's organized a walk to prevent suicides, especially among young people. And what was surprised us was the statistic that Massachusetts, the Berkshire County, has the highest suicide rate among young people in the state, which is among 15 to 19 year olds, and that's not a good sign.
It's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, amazing.
No.
So there, a woman whose son committed suicide is leading this effort to draw attention to this. It's quite a painful story about her son that we had an interview with her about this.
Isn't this right, David, that this is the first march for first suicide prevention march? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Certainly an important effort to raise awareness.
Yeah.
And have people better understand suicide and look for the warning symptoms and get activated. I mean, you're not going to be successful all the time. It's just impossible, especially in today's society. But once again, I think it's a great idea of getting people involved. And young people involved. It's so important.
Well, also, you know, the mother of this young man whom we featured in our story says that this is really a taboo subject that nobody talks about. You know, and we have noticed when we get obits from young people, you know, there's no cause of death listed.
In
the suicide and the drug overdoses. You know, you get an obituary for somebody who's between 19 and 30 years old, and it's an announcement that so and so died. But there's
unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly, yeah. Right? Yeah. But you don't say that. Nobody talks about the fact that it was either a suicide or a drug overdose. So this woman, this mother, is saying, you know, that no one talks about it, and. You know, she's hoping that by sponsoring this march that people will at least begin to discuss this so that it's not such a taboo subject.
Well, I have to say that having been a newspaper editor in the past, newspaper editor, I was always puzzled by why the funeral homes would not list the cause of death, because in some cases, they would. If somebody died of cancer, they would say after a long battle with cancer. But suicide was just taboo, and the newspapers would go along with that. You know, they wouldn't insist on saying, well, you know, what was the cause of death? So, I mean, there was a kind of conspiracy, really, to hide the cause of death in this case, in these cases, from the public, so that people weren't aware of it. Although you would have a hint of it.
Right.
Died unexpectedly.
Right.
Would be a code word, but I think these people that are holding this march are saying let's talk about this a little bit so that we can. Bring some help and assistance to people who are in such distress.
Right.
All right, I want to go on to the next story because the Berkshire County District Attorney race never seems to surprise or amaze me.
Geez. Oh, gee, this is really...
You know, I'm sorry. This is just...
But we should tell our listeners what it is.
Well,
Andrea Harrington won a very
hotly contested.
Ferocious, yes, hotly contested,
as they say,
race, Democratic primary, beating out Paul Cacciavella, who had been who was the incumbent by about 6 months, because our former long-term district attorney resigned about 6 months before the election so that he could appoint his second-in-command, who would then
and appoint his successor.
Yes, right. So his second-in-command then became the incumbent. And much to everyone's amazement, Andrea Harrington, who ran a very good, I mean, very active campaign, beat him. But it is apparently not settled because he now is running a write-in campaign.
And she beat him
in the general election.
It was not a close election. She really did win.
No, she trounced him.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it was only about, 400 votes or 700 votes, maybe. But, in this district, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but this is the Pittsfield machine. That's trying to. What happened was there were a lot of women. There's an organization, a group of women in the county who are quite politically active and very effective in getting and in political organizing. And they decided that they were going to take on this candidacy of Andrea Harrington. And they're quite good at mobilizing. Voter turnout and support. So, even though Andrea Harrington is not the most experienced candidate, that they got behind her and she beat this incumbent.
Because she's a progressive.
She's progressive, right?
Yeah. We'll see what happens in the general election.
It was a clear choice.
Yep. And we'll see what happens in the general
election. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
And finally, we want to go to a couple of columns by Carol Owens once again.
We didn't talk at all about this housing summit. I don't know if we have time to do both, but we did have an article about a housing summit that was held in Pittsfield to address the fact that there is a looming crisis in affordable housing.
Yeah.
It's only looming in Pittsfield because it's right here.
It's actually
it's not looming in Pittsfield, but it's looming certainly in Great Barrington.
Well, because it's very, very, it's a big problem around here.
Yeah,
very
it
big
is.
Problem. It is, yeah.
The officials, our headlines as officials are bullish on the county's future. I mean, there are a lot of things happening. The Community Development Corporation, one thing, and there are some private developers also who are now trying to do affordable housing.
Well, the problem is people don't understand that there's affordable housing, there's low income housing, there's
right.
subsidized housing. I mean, and that's the problem
it's not bringing poor people into
There's a stigma when you say affordable, you know.
Right.
All it means is that somebody who has just a decent job, like a teacher or a policeman, can afford to have a house,
right.
property. That's what they're talking.
If you make if you make $35,000 to $40,000 a year, you should be able to find housing.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
And many of these people make more because you have two public servants, two teachers, and they're making more than as a
together.
Household, they're making more than 30 to 40 thousand.
But still, the housing prices are just skyrocketing in our area, and they're not going down anytime soon.
No, well, they did go down, but now they're going back up.
Yeah.
And interest rates have gone back up too, which makes it
even more hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So now Carol Owens in the Wild West.
Oh, Carol Owens.
That's a very funny story.
Oh, she wrote a couple of columns about the Wild West coming to the streets of Pittsfield. Back in the 1880s, with the appearance of wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill Cody. And these Wild West shows would set up shop in these performances on in a theater that's no longer there, actually, burned down, and on the streets of Pittsfield, and the whole show would spill out onto the streets. And in fact, one year, it's a very amusing story of, probably not very amusing at the time, but several lions escaped into Pittsfield from one of these shows, and they had to hunt them down. Maybe they're still there.
Maybe they start. They started a pride. That's right.
A pride. Yeah. Pride. That's right. Pride. Pride in Pittsfield is not quite what you think.
Well, you know, what I enjoy about that story is that my grandmother. I'm old enough to bridge certain things, and my grandmother used to talk about seeing them live. Exactly.
Oh, and, Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah. And it's so interesting when you. Well, first of all, now most people don't know, unfortunately, how Bill Hickok and who Cody is, unless there's a connection. But it really is when you look at the story, it just brings back a lot of great memories to people who know of those names and know who they are.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I liked? I liked the name of the entrepreneur who brought them here, which was a man named Zebra Quackenbush. he was the impresario. People don't have names like that.
No, but nowadays I'd expect to see that on network TV, Quackenbush.
Yes, right. Maybe.
Fever Quackenbush. Well, you know, people would think it was made up, that it was a joke.
All right. Well, I've had enough problems with my names. People always think that my name was changed for radio, and I said, I'm sorry, folks. It's my birth name. It's what was given to me. All right. Well, those
you mean
stories,
Marshall?
Yes.
You mean
like Marshall Miles? They said, "Oh, but Miles Marshall." And you've changed it. It's perfect for radio. It's perfect.
Well,
for
radio.
Well,
no, they think it's a title.
Yeah.
In other words, you're like Marshall whatever in Gunsmoke, you know.
Unfortunately, that wasn't a name. I'm on the other side of the line. Okay. All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
You bet.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is this week in the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, on air and online.